Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Grateful Dead broke up when Jerry Garcia died almost 30 years ago, but the music never stopped. By some measures, the Dead are more popular now than ever. This song is from their latest archival release, Dave's Picks, Volume 49. It debuted at number 25 on last week's Billboard 200. This is the band's 59th album in the top 40, breaking a record previously held by Elvis and Frank Sinatra. Most of those top 40s have come in the last 15 years. And the person listening to thousands of hours of live Dead shows searching for gems, the Dave of Dave's Picks, is the band's archivist, David Lemieux, who joins me now. Hi there.
Hey, Celeste. How are you?
I'm good. So this album, Volume 49, is drawn from two shows, as I understand, both in April of 1985, performed at the Frost Amphitheater in Palo Alto, California. That's where the Dead really launched, nearly 20 years before these shows occur. Why did you pull from these concerts?
Well, you know, the Dave's Pick series, really the only criteria for the series is great music. And that's what we spend a lot of time doing, is going through the Grateful Dead's archive of close to 2,000 live concerts and listening to a lot of them and choosing the best shows for release. And one year we hadn't released in the series yet was 1985. And as it turned out, the two nights at Stanford and at the Frost Amphitheater at Stanford University were both so good. It was one of those moments where we really couldn't decide which to release. And 1985, a very important year in Dead history. It was, as you mentioned, their 20th anniversary. It's hard to believe here we are in their 59th year now. But in their 20th year, it was a big year for the Dead, and they were hometown shows. The Dead got their start in Palo Alto, playing in Menlo Park down the road, and, you know, before they went up to San Francisco and then Marin County.
So let's hear a little music. I assume we're going to be listening to a lot of it. This is a little bit of The Jam from Scarlet Begonias. You are looking up through 1995. Of course, that's when Jerry Garcia died. I assume that means you are not including any of the post-Jerry Garcia material that was recorded when they were known as Dead & Company.
Correct. Dead & Company, they have got a tremendous series of live webcasts, and they're kind of separate entities while at the same time really being a continuation of the big picture, which the big picture, in my mind, is the Grateful Dead. And so Dead & Company is out there with Bobby and Mickey from the original band and John Mayer and a really good band they've put together. And they are performing Grateful Dead music and performing it extremely well to extremely large crowds and very enthusiastic crowds. You'd mentioned that the Dead might be as popular now or maybe even more so than they ever were. And I would agree with that. I mean, I see this top 40 record that the Dead have just achieved. Dead & Company selling out, you know, everywhere they go, and those include big stadiums. I was seeing the Dead in 1987 through 93. I saw them a lot, and they're as popular now as they were when I was seeing them.
I should say that's backed up by evidence. There was a poll done some years ago, 2015, I think, that showed that they're more popular among younger people than among baby boomers who would have been able to see them live. And in fact, maybe surprisingly to some people, especially because the Dead were associated with more of a hippie culture, Republicans recognize the band more and like them more than Democrats or independents, which, again, a little surprising. But let's talk about what makes them so relevant all these years later, nearly 30 years after Jerry died. What do you think it is? I mean, this is a kind of an essential, long-standing question for the Grateful Dead, right?
It is, and without a doubt, it's the music. It's the timeless quality of the music and the feeling that music gives you when you see it live, when you hear it live, and nothing has changed. I mean, when I see Dead & Company live, I love the music. I love listening to it. I love the sound. I love dancing. But I also love, as kind of an older guy in the crowd, looking around and seeing tens of thousands of people much, much younger than I am getting the same experience I got 35 years ago. And that is the thing, is once you get a dose of dead, once you're, as we say, on the bus, very few people exit that bus door. I mean, it's a good trip to be on. It's a great music and it's a great community.
So in some ways, I wonder if their enduring popularity is because they go against the sort of corporate canned music that most of us hear on our top 40 radios all the time. In other words, I mean, you couldn't have a more anti-capitalist band than The Dead, right? I mean, a lot of their popularity was because people made bootleg recordings and traded them. Every live performance was different. I mean, that's what they were known for, is improvisation. So you are not going to that show to hear the song done the exact way it was done in the album. And I also wonder if they were able to play so many shows because they didn't include the kind of highly choreographed athletic performance. Not that playing these concerts isn't tough, but, you know, they weren't dancing around the stage like, you know, Taylor Swift and Janet Jackson. Is there kind of a quintessential, when you talk about this culture of the both the Dead and their fans, is there a song that comes to mind that sort of captures that?
Well, there's a few, and one that has always captured it for me is, and this is almost a cliche, but it's also something that the mainstream fan might not know, where everybody I think knows Truckin' and Uncle John's Band, yeah, and Touch of Grey and songs like that. But then there was one major improvisational number the Dead had. It was called Dark Star. It was a song that embodied the improvisational open spirit of the Grateful Dead and Deadheads, because it was a song that it had two verses and it had a little bit of a melody, but otherwise what happened between those verses, and the song could run up to 40 minutes long, but it was always unique. On any given night, you could almost tell the mood of the band based on how Dark Star went. It could be a beautiful, positive, uplifting moment. It could be a little deep and dark and really have some, I don't want to say dark energy. The Dead certainly weren't about dark energy, but it could dig a little deeper and go a little bit more psychedelic.
Dark Star is not on volume 49, but another one that everyone probably recognizes, Truckin', is. Truckin', considering the thousands of times the Grateful Dead played that song, what made this performance different? What made it notable?
Truckin', it's an interesting song. There's a classic video clip of Deadheads on video asking the band questions. And one of the questions was, "Hey, Bob, when, if ever, are you going to get Truckin' straight?" And this is a song that Bob wrote with Robert Hunter and Jerry and Phil, and he still got the verses wrong, I'm going to say more often than not. And so you always got a sense of the Grateful Dead having a ton of fun when they played Truckin'. They knew it was their big quote-unquote hit at the time. A couple years later, they had Touch of Grey, which was even bigger than Truckin' had been in 1970. But they always seem to have a ton of fun. And these shows in particular, when the Dead played The Frost, which they did most years from 82 to 89, they were daytime shows. So you can just feel how much fun they're having. And when they sing that line, "What a long, strange trip it's been," there's a little bit extra there. And that's something I love about the Grateful Dead. People ask, what makes a great show different from just an average show? And it's little things like that where you get the sense that the band is having a little bit of extra fun. They're really aware. They're connecting with the audience. And this Truckin' is such a wonderful version. And it goes into one of their, I think, one of their psychedelic masterpieces, a song called The Other One. Thank you.
if people aren't intrigued enough to at least take a listen to the album, I would be very surprised. But for those who are not Deadheads, for those who are not sold on this music yet, is there a song off this album, Dave's Picks number 49, that you would suggest we go out on to give people a taste?
Yeah, you know what? I really love the music Never Stops and Scarlet Begonias, which I think we've touched on. There's a great song that was in the repertoire from about 1970 onward called Going Down the Road Feeling Bad.
Going down the road feeling bad. Going down the road feeling bad. Going down the road feeling bad.
It's actually a cover song. It's an old traditional song that the Dead have picked up on. But it's just going down the road feeling bad, going where the climate suits my clothes. It sums up us on the road as Deadheads and the band on the road as a touring working band.
Going where the water tastes like wine.
That's the one.
Thank you so much for joining us. David Lemieux is the archivist for the Grateful Dead. Thanks.
Thanks, Celeste.